Hello everybody, thanks for being here. I'm Madhumita from Advanced Technology Group of NetApp. I collaborated with Jayanta from my team for this work. So I'm sure you are at least vaguely aware that NetApp sells enterprise storage. And storage management and provisioning is one of the most interesting challenges in dynamic environments of today. So we started this work with very modest goal of being able to predict maximum possible IOPS for a workload for a given system setup. Something like this, an accurate prediction like this could really help in existing and increasing workloads intensity, provisioning new workloads, or migrating existing workloads around data center or in a storage cluster. Slightly sophisticated use cases could be whether we could advise a physical container where a new workload should be provisioned, or whether we could determine the effect of a new workload or to be migrated workload on an existing workload mix. Also, whether we could redistribute workloads in a cluster or a data center so that we could derive maximum utilization as well as performance. So I want to elaborate on this point a little bit. What typically happens with storage administrators today is because of lack of accurate models, they tend to over-provision the resources and they kind of sacrifice on utilization. They try to rely on thumb rules or trial and error methods to do storage provisioning. And that is because there are no accurate models to predict what is the performance that they would get. So some work like this, we hope, would really help for storage administrators. Speaking of dynamic conditions, there are a lot of determining factors from system as well as workload perspective, which play a role in determining performance for a workload for a system. So there are system factors, configuration factors like number of cores or memory size or capacity of the backend. There's network bandwidth. So these are static system factors, but then there is a dynamic dimension to the system, which is depending on the amount of load on the system. So there is CPU utilization, memory utilization, or network bandwidth that is already consumed. So all these dynamic factors, which keep changing depending on the load of the system, also play a role in the performance of that system. Okay. Apart from system factors, there are workload factors as well. Some workloads tend to be read intensive, while some others tend to be write intensive. So file systems are generally designed to have different stacks for different for read and write. So the performance that you get for these variation, this variation in workload is very different. There is dependency on sequentiality of the workloads because file systems tend to implement features like prefetching or read ahead and all that. So you would get different performance based on these factors. Also, some workloads tend to operate in low IO sizes like 512 bytes, while some others kind of use as high as few megabytes for their IO operations. So it is a complex problem. There are a lot of dynamic parts to it. And when they are all combined, it becomes very hard to kind of predict in terms of number of IOPS what would be the number for any particular system workload combination. So we started with a fundamental approach. This is a well-known relationship between latency and outstanding IOs. What it says is more the number of outstanding IOs with the system, more is the latency you are going to observe for your workload. So it is a linear relationship, direct relationship. If we apply another elegant result to it called Little's Law, this is a queuing theory, almost a very fundamental principle from queuing theory. It defines outstanding IO as latency and multiplication of latency and IOPS. So if we combine these two, we get a relationship between latency and IOPS, which looks like a hockey stick. Again, this is a very intuitive result, which says that, so I don't have a pointer. I'm going to, I hope this is clear. So in low IOPS region, we have latency in acceptable limits. And then you reach a point where it starts increasing. This is typically called the knee of the curve. And if you push more and more IOPS, you would reach a point where you won't be able to push any more IOPS to the system, and system will just saturate, and your latency would shoot up dramatically. So we said we are going to determine this point where the latency kind of tends to be infinity, and that point would be the maximum IOPS point for our system workload combination. So as it turns out, this is 1 by A from that formulation. And that is, in fact, the A being the slope of this line. So what we did was we deployed the workload on the system. We collected observations, multiple observations periodically from the system. We got a lot of points on this graph. And then we did robust regression on those points to be able to come up with a closest fit a line for those points. And then when we had the line, maximum IOPS estimates was from the formula. So these are results for the fundamental technique. TPC and web are the workloads which are real life workloads. We got them from MSR Cambridge Traces. And as you can see, latency OIO for both of them, which is the upper part of the slide, it tends to be more or less linear. So because of kind of well-behaving pattern like this, we have in fact got estimates that are closer to observed maximum. So this black line is the observed maximum, and the cyan colored curve is the predicted maximum as we went on observing more and more points, green being the actual points. So for both the workloads, our observed maximum and predicted maximum was pretty close. In fact, the error was around 10%. But that was not the case with all of the workloads that we had. So for exchange and financial, we did not get a very linear behavior. It was slightly divergent and spread out. So when we tried to kind of dig it a bit, we found that we actually tagged each of the observations with corresponding IO sizes. And then we found that when we had, it is clear from the legend how we tagged it. And we found that different IO sizes tended to kind of segregate observations in different line patterns. So and this was not the case only with IO size, but with all workload characteristics like random percent or read percent, that similar workload characteristics tended to group together. And so if we could actually divide the workload in, if we could actually dynamically determine the workload characteristics, we could actually give a fairly accurate estimate based on these curves. So, so at this point, I'm just reviewing the challenges and observations for the fundamental technique. First is something we already discussed. A workload can behave as if there are multiple workloads within it. It consists of multiple characteristics. So our solution is to dynamically determine what is the range where the workload is operating and then giving an estimate based on that. Another challenge is new workload provisioning. So the fundamental technique, it needs some observations to be able to give prediction. Whereas storage administrators typically want to know how many IOPS of this workload I can push without even deploying it. So we don't have the luxury to get those observations. So we have solved this. I'm not going to discuss this approach in interest of time, but very briefly, we used a custom workload generator to exhaust all possible workload characteristics and then came up with a method so that a new workload can be looked up from that database and a corresponding estimate can be provided. Also, another observation is that the fundamental technique works when there's only one workload deployed on the system and we observe it. However, that is highly unrealistic because storage administrators want to deploy multiple workloads on the same system. So This is again a very insightful analysis. I'm going to discuss this in next few slides. But before that, I just want to briefly discuss another challenge where, as we said at the start, we want to be able to kind of keep the estimates up to date for dynamic conditions. So systems undergo configuration changes. Underlying file systems undergo fragmentation, and all this tends to change the performance of the system. So we have developed a deployment proposal where we would keep taking feedback from the environment to be able to keep our system keep our estimates up to date. Again, I'm not going to discuss this in interest of time. So moving to multiple workload scenario. So we are viewing the system as a black box, which is serving multiple workloads. And what we are saying is this black box channel is utilized 100% when you push maximum possible IOPS to the system. So under saturation, the utilization of the black box would be 1. So for example, if you can push 10,000 IOPS for a particular workload, and no more for that workload, you are utilizing the black box to 100%. The bottleneck could be anywhere in the system, but as a black box, it is being utilized 100%. So if we call lambda as the arrival rate, which is the current IOPS that system is serving for that workload, and mu the service rate, which is the maximum possible IOPS for that workload, then we can calculate utilization of that channel as lambda by mu for that particular workload. So if 10,000 is the max and 5,000 is the current IOPS that is being served for that workload, we can say, and that is the only workload on the system, we can say that system is being, or the black box is being utilized about 50%. So when there are multiple workloads on the system, each workload would consume a piece of this black box. And then if we sum up the corresponding utilizations for all of the workloads, then we would get the total utilization of the system. And what we are saying is under saturation, this figure would tend to be around 100%. So just to validate the hypothesis, this is what we did. So these are 5 workloads that we deployed on the same system. And first row shows the maximum possible IOPS when that was the only workload that was deployed on the system. So when TPC was operated in standalone mode, that means that was the only workload on the system. It tended to saturate at around 14,000 IOPS, and similarly 8,000 for web and so on. SIO is our custom workload generator. But when we actually moved to multiple workload scenario where we put TPC in foreground and web in background, by background I mean a constant workload intensity which doesn't change, and foreground the workloads in foreground were gradually increased in intensity. And in this scenario, what we observed was we couldn't get beyond 4K of TPC, so the system was saturated at 4K and other workloads being in background. And if we actually calculate the utilization for each of the workloads and sum it up for this scenario, we get that it is around 1.02, which is close to 100%, which is what we got in different scenarios that we simulated with same mix of workloads. So this kind of validated our hypothesis that if we view the system as black box, as a multiple queue single server model, the utilization formulation actually works. Then we actually created a almost real life scenario where we said we have 4 workloads already deployed on the system with constant intensity. So in this case, workload 1 to workload 4 are already running on the system with some constant number of IOPS. And a storage administrator wants to deploy workload 5. Now, he wants to know 2 things, whether he can deploy workload 5, and if so, how many IOPS of workload 5 can be pushed to the system in its current state. So going back to the utilization formulation, we we know the current IOPS for all of these because we are observing the system. We also know the maximum IOPS for all of these based on their standalone mode. That they can be obtained using fundamental technique or new workload provisioning techniques. So in this formula, we are just calculating lambda by mu, the current IOPS divided by maximum IOPS for each of the workloads, and just summing them up to get current utilization of the black box, which is around 0.39. So we know that 61% of the black box channel is probably free for workload 5. So probably workload 5 can be deployed. Now, how many IOPS of workload 5 can be pushed would depend on what is the service rate of workload 5 and what is the remaining utilization of the black box. So as we so we know that 2833 is the maximum IOPS for workload 5, and then 61% of the channel is free. So if we multiply them, we get around 1700. And interestingly, what we see in this left part of the graph is that workload 5 is color purple. So when we gradually increase workload 5 beyond 1700, that is around this point, we see that workload 1 starts getting affected. Number of IOPS reduced. That is because system cannot bear the load anymore. And then later on, other workloads also start getting affected. So our prediction was fairly accurate. So this was also around like 120 minutes on this graph. So if we see corresponding latency curve, we see that latencies were within acceptable limits till 120 minutes. But as we increased workload 5's intensity beyond what was recommended, latencies just shot up dramatically in other part of the graph. So it is a fairly accurate estimate. To summarize, we kind of adopted a system agnostic and workload aware approach. So in view of system, it is a black box approach, but then we try to use knowledge from the workload, so it becomes white box in workload sense. Then we took care of dynamic and multiple workload scenarios, and in all these cases our error was almost all of the cases our error was prediction error was less than 15%. In fact, in majority of the cases it was less than 10%. So we believe we have developed something which is fairly accurate and generic, so that storage administrators could use this. Thank you. That is all I had.